Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Samach Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah on Daf Samach Aleph, 14 lines from the top. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads Goder or Geder, a fence, Ha'omur, Mahogain, Bifnei, Hispashtus Ha'esh, a fence that's designed to stop the spreading of a fire. In other words, if you lit a fire in your own domain and there is a wall, a fence of sufficient dimension, and the fire nevertheless gets to the other side, so you are exempt because you provided the necessary protection. If it didn't meet the fire protection standard by way of dimension, so naturally you are considered having been reckless and will be guilty for damage the fire creates on the other side of the fence. The Mishnah. Ovra goder shehu govoa dalramus. The fire passed over a fence having a height of 4 amos. How to calculate the 4 amos is something the Gemara will deal with, but the Mishnah is referring to a dimension of 4 amos for the fence, oi derech arabim, or it crossed a public thoroughfare, o nohar, or a river. In other words, you lit a fire on one side of a river and your fire somehow did damage on the other side of the river, you're exempt from needing to compensate for the damage. Likewise, if the fire got across a public thoroughfare. The Gemara asks, "V'hotanya ovra goder shu gavoa arba amos chayav." But we have a Tanaic source, a brisa that seemingly contradicts the Mishnah that a fence of 4 amos is not sufficient. Omar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says there is no disagreement per se between these two sources. Tana didon, our Tana kachoshiv milamalo lamato. Our Tana, in mentioning 4 amos, is really coming at the end of a string of numbers, starting with larger numbers, as follows. Sheish amos poter, chomesh amos poter. If you had a fence that was 6 amos in height, you would be exempt if the fire got to the other side somehow. Or 5 amos in height, you would be exempt. Ad arba amos poter. Until 4 amos. So he's starting milamala from above, a higher number, down to a lower number. And when we say until 4 amos, we are saying until and including 4 amos. 4 amos will be the last point of exemption. Tana Bora, the Braisa that spoke about 4 amos as being chayav, as being guilty, is a source that was starting with a lower number working its way up to the 4. Tana Bora milamato lamalo kochoshiv. He was calculating from milamata, from below till above, to above meaning a higher number. So what was the intention of the Braisa? To say as follows, Shtei amos chayav, shalosh amos chayav, 2 amos, one would be guilty. It's not sufficient. It's not a sufficient height to protect against the fire spreading. Likewise, shalosh amos chayav, ad arba amos, up till 4 amos. Now here, up till means up till, but not including the 4th amma. So, up till 4 amos, but not including exactly 4 amos, would be a fence not meeting the fire protection standard. Omar Rava, Dalit Amos Sha'amru. We have a no say, a topic heading on the side, which reads, Shi'ure Harchoka Ba'esh. We're going to mention different distances, different measures of distance regarding a fire. and we'll mention, make reference to Keilachas Nechfefes. Keilachas is a fire that burns in a pillar fashion, in a vertical fashion. And Nechfefes is a fire that literally is bent over. We'll see a little more about Nechfefes in the Gemara and Rashi, because on Nechfefes, Rashi really has two explanations. So Rafa, in the meantime, tells us, Dalet Amos She'amru Depoter, the four Amos that we were taught in the Mishnah, is a basis of exemption. Afilu B'stei Kitzim, even if on the other side of the fence there is a thorn field. Thorns are highly susceptible to fire. People, we had in one of our previous shiurim, that when it comes to why the Pasuk had to enumerate so many different examples, including thorns, because when it comes to thorns, we describe them as, on the one hand, being very inexpensive, so if the Pasuk wouldn't have spelled it out, I wouldn't have known that you are chayev to compensate. On the other hand, if the Pasuk would have stated only thorns and not the additional examples, I would have thought that only for thorns people bear responsibility, because thorns are something that people are negligent in regarding them and fire. So Rava is telling us that the four Amos offers you exemption, even if on the other side is a thorn field. Rashi, on the upper part of the narrow lines, Rashi says, "Afilu b'stei kaitzim, afilu hoisa sode shekaifetzes l'sham ha'ur me'al l'gader malea kaitzim." Even if on the other side of the fence that the fire jumps to and gets over there is a thorn field, shenoyachesh levayer bal ledaleg, it's easy for a fire to burn them and skip to them, potter, he is exempt. So that the four Amos is a very significant dimension of protection for basis of exemption for the owner of the fire. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Papa, umisfas kaitzim ulamala dalet amos. The four amo measure regarding the wall doesn't mean from the ground up. It means from the top of the thorns that are on the other side. You have to have an additional four amos of wall rising above that, so that if the thorns themselves are have a height of two amos, you would need to have a six amma tall fence or wall. Omar Rav, lo shonu elo bekolachas. And this line is important to learn along with the Tosfos commentary, basically for two words that he points out. The comment of Rav of Lo Shonu is a reference to the Geder, the Goder, the fence. The Mishnah's teaching of exemption is a reference to the fence when the fire on the owner's side is Keilachas, is the pillar type fire. Avo b'nechfefes, however, if it's a nechfefes situation, we're gonna go with the first of the two explanations that Rashi offers. Rashi says, Avo nechfefes, sheharuach mata oisa v'kaifel itstodin. The wind is blowing and causing the fire to disperse, to literally to bend over and burn to the sides, not in a straight pillar fashion. Umafsik hashalheves v'doleges. So it's a type of erratic type fire. In the case like that, afilu admeo amo chayov. And then the wall, even the wall of four amas is certainly not going to help. Then even of 100 amas, you will still be guilty. There is quite a bit of discussion revolving around Rav in light of what the Gemara will be saying later on. Later, the Gemara is going to be bringing a Tanaic source to support Rav, but it's the Tanaic source seems to be dealing with a different situation, of a situation where a fire is burning and there is no wall, but there's a lateral gap of significance. And the question that the commentaries will have to deal with is, how does a Tanaic source that deals with a different situation, how is it brought in to support Rav? So, in the meantime, though, we're presenting Rav, and we're trying to base ourselves on, as we said, the Tosfos commentary, that Rav is saying that the teaching of the Mishnah, that there's exemption, is only if the fire, the nature of the fire that you're dealing with, is burning in a vertical kolachas pillar type fashion. Avol b'nechfefes, we said already, afil ad meo amo chayav. Now we continue in the Gemara with Shmuel. Shmuel Omar Masnisen b'nechfefes. Shmuel is very lenient here on the owner of the fire. He says the Mishnah that says four amos is sufficient is in fact talking about a fire that's nefefes. Aval b'keilachas, if the fire is burning in a vertical fashion, afilu kol shehu poter, if the fence is even a kol shehu, even a negligible amount, you will enjoy exemption for any damage that happens on the other side. Tanyo kavose de Rav. We have a brisa that supports Rav. Now the brisa, one can see from the Tosfos, is essentially a qualification of the Mishnah. So it says here in the brisa, Bamed Vamurim, when is, now Bamed Vamurim is an expression that is from the Rashi, it seems, Bamed Vamurim Di'im Ovro Derech Rishus Rabban Potter. So the brisa is a comment on the Mishnah. The Mishnah spoke about the Rishus HaRabban being a sufficient means of distancing the fire. You're on one side of a public domain and the damage happens on the other side. So the brisa says, when do we say that? And again, I'm basing myself on Rashi, who says on this, Bamed Vamurim Di'im Ovro Derech Rishus Rabban Potter, when? Bekoilachas, if the fire is burning in a pillar fashion. So on this point, Tosfos says that you see from the brisa that the exemption, that it understands the Mishnah with its exemptions, with regard to a fire burning in a pillar fashion. That is what Rav said as well. That the Mishnah's exemptions were dealing with a pillar fire. The point that we needed to resolve, though, is that Rav spoke about the fence height, the fence as a means of protection or exemption, and the Bryce is talking about a horizontal or lateral gap form of protection. But either way, the Brisa does support Rav in the sense that the Brisa understands that the fire in the Mishnah is Kailachas. And that's why we dashed underline that. So the Brisa goes on to say that when is a Derech Rabim a basis of exemption? That's B'Kailachas, when the fire is burning in a Kailachas fashion. Avo B'Nichfefes, the Eitzim Mitzuyin Law, if it's a nechfefes type fire. Now here it might be of benefit to us to cite the second explanation in Rashi that we did not mention before. Nechfefes, according to the second explanation Rashi before, is a fire that's a burning low, close to the ground, like a creepy, crawling fire. So if it's that kind of fire and there's wood along the way, the Eitzim Mitzuyin Law is there's wood, there's tinder, there's fuel along the way, and you lit the fire on your property, and it's a low burning type fire, and there's tinder along the way. Hafilu ad me'al mil chayav. Even if the damage takes place 100 mil, that's like saying 100 kilometers from where you are, you will be chayav. Avra Nahar of Shlulis Shehem Ruchavim Ches Amos Potter. If the fire crosses a river or a Shlulis, that will be the subject of the Gemara later on. That they are 8 Amos wide, Potter. Then you will be exempt if damage takes place on the other side. Derech Harabim. Our Mishnah made reference to the Derech Harabim as being a sufficient distance between you and damage that takes place on the other side. Man Tana, who is the author? Omar Rava, Rebbe Eliezer He. Disnan. Now, if you look at the Mishnah on Omid Beis at the top, the Mishnah there speaks about, again, lighting a fire and the distance between your fire and the eventual damage. There are a number of different opinions in how much you must distance yourself in order to be exempt. So the Mishnah on the top of Omid Beis, you can see, has Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and then Rabbi Eliezer appears there, who mentions Tez Zayin Amos Kederach Rishus Harabim. He mentions the width of a public thoroughfare is 16 Amos, which is the same width of a standard public thoroughfare. Rabbi Kiva says you must distance yourself 50 Amos. So in our Mishnah, there's no name, but it says that distancing yourself by means of a public thoroughfare will offer you exemption. Who would say that? So Rava says that is just like Rebbe Eliezer that appears in the Mishnah on Amud Beis. Disnan, Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Sheish Esrei Amos Kederach Rishus Harabim. Tosfos points out that what we gain by this very brief discussion is that our Mishnah, even though there's no name in it, it's called an unnamed Mishnah, or a nameless Mishnah is referred to as a Stam Mishnah. And a Stam Mishnah very often carries with it additional halachic authority. However, that is qualified when it's followed by a machlokes. So that in this case we have a Mishnah that represents the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer, but immediately following our Mishnah, you see that Rebbe Eliezer is part of a controversy or part of a disagreement between other Tanoim, and that diminishes the halachic significance of this Mishnah as a Stam Mishnah. That situation is referred to as Stam V'Achar Kach Machlokes. Let's continue in the Gemara. O Nohar, our Mishnah mentioned that if you are on the one side of a Nohar, Nohar is translated usually as a river, and the fire gets to the other side, you will be exempt. Rav Omar Nohar Mamish. Rav says that Nohar is literally a river. And Shmuel Omar Arisa de Daloi. Arisa Daloi is in a ditch or a channel that's used for irrigation purposes. It's used for to serve as a water supply for watering fields. Rashi says Yor Koton, that's a small stream, Shedeli Mimenu, that water is drawn from it, Umashkin Sodas, and used for watering fields. Mention was made, by the way, on Daf Nun Aleph, Amud Aleph, concerning Arisa Daloi, but in that sugya, the significance of Arisa Daloi was for its depth. There, you were dealing with the height or the distance of a fall from ground level down into the ditch. But here, we're dealing with width dimensions, width issues, or lateral issues. Man diomar nohor mamish, according to Rav, who says that the Mishnah is referring to a river, literally, afagav deleko maya, even if it's a dried out river, there will be exemption. Man diomar arisa de daloi, Shmuel, who spoke about the nor of the Mishnah referring to a, let's say, a small stream, we say then, I is beimaya in, only if there is water flowing in it will there be an exemption. Avoles beimaya lo. If there's no water, then it won't serve as a basis of exemption. Rashi points out a correction. The Tosfos makes mention of the river, and we pointed out earlier that the river had in the Brisa, just a couple lines up, we saw the river had a width of 8 amos. So Tosfos, in the lower part of the Tosfos page, you can see Mandomar nor mamash afalgav de les beimaya, even if there's no water in it, it's a sufficient width of protection. The afalgav de brishusarav boy tezayin amos, even though when we spoke about a lateral distance of 16 amos that characterized a public thoroughfare, and less than that would be considered reckless. He hocha sagi b'shmoyna amos. Here, when we're speaking about a river, 8 amos is enough. Why is that? Mitoch shahanor omoik. The river is deep. It has depth to it. The public thoroughfare was on the same level as where your fire was located, but the river has depth. It has its depth of its channel. V'gam yeshbo krus mayim shover botomid. And it also has the lowering of the temperature because of the water that is flowing in it. Now, Tosfos adds the word tomi, means the water that's always flowing in it. I'm not sure exactly how to resolve that with Rav's point that said the Gemara said concerning Rav, the river is an effective gap, even if there is no water in it. But certainly the depth aspect of it is still valid as making it distinguished, distinguishing it from the public thoroughfare where we needed 16 amos. So we continue in our Gemara with the distinction we just made between a river mamish, then even if there's no water in it, it's a sufficient distance, gap between your fire and the other side. And on the second wide line of the Gemara, Umandoma Arisa Dadaloi, according to Shmuel, who said that the Nohar referred to in the Mishnah is an irrigation ditch, then I is be maya in, I avoles be maya lo. If there's water in it, then it can serve as the gap required, but if there's no water, it does not. I think that it's fairly obvious that the Arisa Daloi doesn't have the dimension of Nohar Mamish. It's narrower. Therefore, you need to have the water as an additional factor to serve as protection. Tanan Hosam. We cite a source that is unrelated to the matter, to the issues of fire, but you'll see that the issue of ditches and water supplies and the like come into play. And the topic here has to do with payah. Payah is one of the tithes that we leave for the poor. It's a corner of one's field. One leaves unharvested for the poor. If a person had a field, even if there's one crop growing in the field, but there are, we'll say, separations in the field, you would be required to leave a portion of each section unharvested, leave it for the poor to come and collect. The situation we just described in Hebrew is referred to as mafsikin. Mafsikin means to block, create a gap, separation. So the source says v'elu mafsikin lepeya. That's if you have these things in your field, then you'll have to leave peya from each section that's been divided by these. And it says hanachal v'hashlulis v'derech hayochid v'derech harabim. A nachal is a stream. Rashi says nachal omoik be'emtza. It could be also a type of a valley, a depression that's deep, and therefore you'll have to leave a separate pay on each side of the nachal. Vashlulis, the Gemara will be asking on this, my shlulis. Derech Hayochid is a path that's used by individuals. It's 4 amos wide. And Derech Harabim is something we saw before, possibly a reference to a public path, a public thoroughfare. So, any of these things running in your field, you'll have to leave a separate peah on either side of them. My shlulis, what is that a reference to? Omar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, the first opinion is, Mokoim she mei gishomim shoylulim shom, a place where rain water gathers. So the word shlulis is associated with shoylulim, and shoylulim has to do with that which gathers together. Rabbi Beifai Omar Rabbi Yochanan says, Amas Hamayim, the word shlus is a reference to a stream of water. Shem, now, and what's the word shlulis? What's its connection to a stream of water? Shemechalekis shalol la'agapel. Regarding this, Rashi has two explanations. Correction. He has one explanation. Shemachagish lo agapeah, shemashkin oison mimeno. The banks of the stream are watered from the water in the stream. Vein oison peros, and fruit grows along the rim or the banks of this stream. So the mechalekis shalal. Shalal is a term here that would mean booty or produce. Tosfos has a slightly different explanation on that at the bottom line. Shemechalekis shalal agapeah kishigod lo ha'amo mismale mayim boros shichlum oros shesvil seho. When the water level in the stream increases, so that the surface of the water in the stream is such that it will overflow and fill up pits and other irrigation ditches that are in the vicinity, that from which other fields are watered. So we have two explanations of what shlulis is, either a place where rainwater gathers or a stream. Man d'omar mokum shemeg shomim shoglin shom, if you explain shlulis as a place where rain water gathers, and that is mafsik lepeya, that creates the gap, the separations in your field for peya purposes. Kol shekein amas hamayim, all the more so will an amas hamayim fulfill that role of being a separator. Umandom amas hamayim. However, the opinion that says Amas Hamayim is the separator in Peah, Avol Mokim Shemek Shom and Shalim Shom Lo Mafsiki. But places in your field where rainwater gathers, that is not going to be a field separator. Dehano, those are, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Bagni the Aro Mikru. They're called like the bowls of the land. The point here is that they're referred to as Bagni da'ara. Ara is the land itself. So it's part of the land. It's not separate from the land. And therefore it doesn't serve to those rainwater collection ditches would not serve as a separator with regard to payoff. we go back to, we have a new Mishnah, going back to the issue of fire. Hamadlik besof shelo, ad kamo tavor hadleko, one who lights a fire in his own domain. How much distance between where your fire is and the eventual site of damage is necessary in order for you to enjoy exemption. Reb Elozer ben Azaria Omer, Royan Oisei Kiiluhu Be'emtza Beis Kor. You would have to view yourself as if your fire is in the middle of an area. It's an area called a Beis Kor. It has specific dimensions to it, so that to on all your sides you would have a half a kor distance between your fire and whatever gets damaged, and if you have provided for that amount of distance, you'll be exempt. Reb Elozer Omer, we saw this just before, Tezayin Amos, 16 Amos, Kederek Rishus Rabin, which is the dimension of the width of a public thoroughfare. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Chamishim Amos, you have to make sure that you have a gap of 50 Amos. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shalem Yishalem HaMavir Es HaBeira, he cites the Posuk, and his conclusion is HaKol Lufi HaDaleka. The thinking right now of regarding that expression, HaKol Lufi HaDaleka, is that it means whatever you do, whatever happens, you will be guilty. Whether you're near the site of damage or you're far away. The Gemara asks regarding Rabbi Shimon. It was a long question. You can see we've marked it thusly. Vales lei Rabbi Shimon shiura bedaleka. Does Rabbi Shimon not have a concept of distancing whereby you can achieve exemption? V'hatran, we have the following Tanaic source. The source that we're about to read deals with a tanor, an oven. And an oven, obviously, is associated with fire, and we have to apply a safety standard with regard to the positioning of an oven in a house, in a dwelling where you have an upper story and a lower story. And different people are living in the upper story and the lower story. Two owners. Lo yamid odom tanor besocha bayis. One should not set up an oven in a house. Elim ken yesh al gabo gova dalet amos. Unless above the tanor you have a gap of height of 4 amos. Hoya mamido balia. If a person set up a tanor in a second story, in an attic, an aliyah means above on the second floor, and now the issue is the protection between the oven and the floor, which represents the ceiling of the lower dwelling. So we have to have the following: Avshei tachtov maziva shloisha tfochim, until you have. Maziva is a reference to the material that is used for making the floor, which is the same as the ceiling of the lower story. So there has to be, we'll call it plaster, having a thickness of 3 hand breadths. Ubekira, if you're let me add to that point that Maziva, Rashi says, Tiach shel sid, which we'll call a plaster, al tikra, which is, if you have, let's say, ceiling beams serving as the ceiling of the lower domicile, then above the beams you have to have an additional thickness, a layer or thickness of plaster measuring 3 tfachim. And upon that will sit the tanor. The kira. Kira is also a type of oven, but it's less intense heat-wise. We'll say it's smaller, or it's less heat-intense than a tanor. Tefach. It's enough that you have that layer of plaster, 1 tefach in depth. Ve'im hizik mishale mashi hizik. The Tanakhama says if damage happens, then you have to pay according to what was damaged. Rabbi Shimon omer lo nemru shum halolu elo she'im hizik poter milashalim. Rabbi Shimon, and we want to focus on him, he says that these dimensions were given, were provided for, so that if damage would nevertheless result, you will be exempt. In other words, we give you measures or safety standards. If you abide by the safety standards and nevertheless damage results, you will be exempt from compensating, says Rabbi Shimon. So we see very clearly that Rabbi Shimon has shiurim, he has dimensions that provide for exemption within the realm of fire. Why then in the Mishnah does he say hakol lefi hadleiko, which led us to believe that whatever happens, you have to pay? Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabo Bar Avua. So Rav Nachman explains what was said in the Mishnah is hakol lefi goiva hadleiko. When we look together at Rashi, lefi goiva, the Rashi that we're looking at is in the upper part of the narrow lines. He says lefi goiva. You evaluate each situation on its own. Namely, if the fire is large and intense, it will jump to great distances. So we can't. So Rav Shimon in the Mishnah is saying, yes, you can experience exemption, but we can't give you a singular amount or size or distance that is going to result in exemption. You have to take into consideration the size of the fire and then rule accordingly. But the main point that I want to emphasize is that Rabbi Shimon doesn't deny the possibility of achieving exemption. Om Rav Yosef, Om Rav Yehuda, Om Shema Halacha, Karebi Shimon. He rules like Rabbi Shimon. V'chein Omar Rav Nachman, Om Shmuel, Halacha, Karebi Shimon. On the side, there's a little star that says that Rabbi Shimon, that we're ruling like, means it's a reference to Rabbi Shimon of the Mishnah. The reason that note appears is that we saw an additional citation of Rabbi Shimon in the case of the Tanur, but that is not what we are. We're not basing their ruling on that particular statement of Rabbi Shimon, but rather Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah. We have a topic heading on the side. We call this topic Tamun. Tamun, we've discussed in the past, has to do with a fire that consumes items that, when the fire approaches them, they are covered over or buried in something else, so they're unexposed. Point one, we'll see an issue concerning madlik besoif shel chavero, where someone lights a fire in his friend's domain. Number two, madlik besoif shelo v'olcha besoif shel chavero. A person lit a fire in his own domain, but it spread. It reached his friend's domain. These two situations, will they make a difference regarding the topic of Tomun? Let's go now into the Mishnah. Maybe I should point out that we have a structural note where a diamond and triangle appear. The diamond highlights the word Gedi, a goat, and the triangle highlights the word Eved in this upcoming discussion. For those who have been learning with us since the beginning of the Masechta, so you'll see that a number of points here we have mentioned in the past. Many of the examples that you see in the Mishnah should be familiar. The Mishnah, Hamadlik es hagodish v'hoyu bo kelim v'dolku. Someone lit a pile of grain, and within the pile of grain there were vessels, utensils, and they burnt. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Mishale Mashe Besocho. You have to, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to pay, you have to compensate for that which was within the pile of grain. The Chumash say you pay only for a pile of grain. If it's wheat, chitim, or if it's a pile of sorim, barley, that's what you pay for. Not for the, you don't compensate for the destruction of the vessels that were buried therein. Hoyo gedi kofuslo vevet somuchlo. Even before we read on in the Mishnah, I want to say that this part of the Mishnah will not be the focus of the of any discussion in this Gemara. We've dealt with these examples in the past. Rashi elaborates here, so by all means, take advantage of Rashi for more details. But let's continue with the Mishnah, recognizing that we've dealt with this part of the Mishnah once before. Hoya gedi kofuslo, a goat is tied up near this pile of grain, and the eved somuchlo, and a slave, a slave is next to it. V'nisrafimo, and they were all consumed together in the fire. Chayov, compensation must be made for the goat that was tied up over there. If you look in the commentaries, you'll see that with regard to the goat, the issue of its being tied up is not necessarily, this is based on the Iko di Amri. You can see in the Rashi, who, which is, according to the note on the side, is a comment made by the Rashbam, that they, even if the goat wasn't tied up, the same halacha would apply, that you would have to compensate for it. The reason that there is compensation is because you're not dealing with a capital offense. Ah, but a person died, an eved died, and for the death of, for killing an eved, one is in is has violated a capital offense. And we have a rule, kom le bedarabamine, that one receives when guilty of two offenses, one financial and one capital, which results in a court execution, so you get only the more severe punishment. Even if that particular action wouldn't lead to actual execution because it took place, we'll say, unintentionally or without warning, nevertheless, there is financial exemption because potentially there was a capital case. So here, there is no capital case. Why? Because the eved, the slave, could have run away. And since there's no capital issue, so there is a financial issue, and hence chayav means compensation must be made for the death of the goat that was tied up over there. Eved kofuslo di somuchlo v'nisrafimo. If we switch around the situation and the eved is tied up near that pile of grain that you set on fire, and he has no escape, he's tied up, and a gedi, a goat, is next to it and was burnt together, potter, there is exemption. And why? Because here we have a capital offense. Umoidim chachomim the Rebbe Yehuda. We saw before this machlokis between Rebbe Yehuda and the chachomim regarding tamun, the rabbonim, the chachomim, the rabbis concede to Rebbe Yehuda that there will be a chiyuv of tamun, that you will have to compensate for tamun. Bimadlik es habira, if one lights, sets a fire, a bira. Bira is a house, a large building. And someone lights a bira, shehu mishalem kol ma shebesocha. There, the chum say, you will have to compensate for everything that was in the house. Shekein derech b'nei adam lo niach bebatim. It's the way of people to have store things in their houses. In contrast to piles of grain, it's not the way of people to store their wallets in piles of grain. But all kinds of articles and vessels and utensils are characteristically within people's houses. So that the burning of the house and its contents isn't viewed as, the contents vis-a-vis the house are not viewed as if they're hidden or buried within the house, because of this svara, this logic that it's the way of people, it's the derech of people to have these things in the house. See, we're gaining a level of insight into the Chachomim's exemption of why Tomun or what is considered tamun. Tamun, after all, is a gzeres hakosuf. But how do you define something as tamun? So it appears from this that tamun, that the Torah exempts for, is a reference to things that you would not expect to be buried within. Regarding this, we'll see much more in the Gemara itself. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a new marking, a house shape, and on the side we have a Nosei / Mivneh reading, which says we have a house featured. Machloikis Rav Kahana v'Rova. We'll see in this Gemara disagreement between Rav Kahana and Rova. Behesper Machloikis Hatanoyim, and how to explain how to present the Tanaic disagreement between Riyudu v'Chacham and Binyan Tomun. Within Rav Kahana, if you look at our markings, we've used a dashed underline under the words machlokes, and a few lines later, divrei hakol. There's a point at which the Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim disagree, and there is a point at which the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Yehuda in the direction of obligation to compensate. Rava's approach to the machlokas in the Mishnah of Yudan Chachamim is he has a different approach. He says they argue on two counts. We'll get to that in Mirtz Hashem a little bit later. The Gemara, Amar Rav Kahana, machlokas, the disagreement between Rav Yudah and the Chachamim regarding Tomun in the Mishnah, b'madlik b'soich shelo v'holcha v'holcha v'ochla b'soich shechavero. It's where you lit a fire in your own domain and it spread to your friend's domain, causing damage. The Rabbi Yehuda mechayev anizge tamun boesh v'rabbonan patri. Rabbi Yehuda says you have to pay for the damage suffered by that which was tamun, which was hidden away. The Chachamim say no, for things that were covered up. In a case like that, you will be exempt. Avol b'madlik b'soich shel chavero. If you initially light the fire in your friend's domain, in the victim's domain, divrei hakol, everyone, including the chachamim, will agree. Mishalem kol ma shebesocho. You have to pay for everything. Omar le Rava. E hachi. Rava has a question. You notice we have a long question marking at the end of which Rava presents his interpretation, of the machlokas tanoi. But Rava says if what you are saying, Rav Kahana is saying, is correct, that when it comes to madlich b'soch shechavero, you're chayav for all cases of tomun, including things that are hidden in piles of grain. Adetoni Seifa, instead of the end of the Mishnah teaching the following, and here in the frame is a quote from our Mishnah, Moidim Chachomim the Rabbi Yehuda, B'madlik es habira, She'meshalem kol shma shebesocho. When did the Chachomim concede to Rabbi Yehuda? In the, we'll say, the limited case of lighting your friend's house, then you will pay for everything that's in it. Why? Shekein derech b'nei odom lo niach b'botim. I want to emphasize the word derech. Why is there an obligation to pay, even according to the Chachamim, there for the vessels in the house? Because it's the way to have articles and vessels within houses. But only then do the Chachamim concede to Rabbi Yehuda that there you'll pay for everything. But now, if Rav Kahana is correct, why did the Chachamim concede on such a specific situation, such a specific case? Lifloig, the lisne bedida. You can keep the machlokas between. You can present the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim concerning a godish, the pile of grain, straight through. It could have said as follows: Bamed Vamurim, when the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, Bamadlik besoch shelo, v'holchavach lebesoch shechavero, where you lit a fire in your own domain, and it went and reached your friend's property and consumed a pile of grain that had vessels in it. So that's when the Chachomim will disagree with Reb Yehuda. Avol madlik besoch shechavero, if you lit the fire initially in your friend's domain, divrei hakol, everyone would agree, mishalim kol ma'ashim shay besocho, everyone will agree that you'll pay for everything that was in there, meaning including the case of Godish, even if you had unusual things that were hidden in the pile of grain, the Chachamim would agree that you have to pay. But the Mishnah didn't say that. The Mishnah didn't use a consistent example of Godish from the beginning to the end. In the beginning of the Mishnah, where they argued, so the Mishnah featured an argument concerning the Godish, and that's when you lit in your own domain and it reached your friend's domain. However, the Mishnah said there will be agreement on the part of Chachamim if you lit your friend's house. But according to what Rav Kahana said, you didn't have to switch from Godish to house when you could have maintained a consistent example of Godish from beginning of Mishnah to the end. Ela Omar Rava. Therefore, Rava comes up with his approach. Betarti pligi. The machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is on two counts. We've highlighted with a double underline the word pligi to highlight Rava's explanation. The two counts. You have one here and a few lines later, another one. Pligi b'madlik b'soich shelo v'ochla b'soich shachavero. They argue concerning that circumstance where you lit a fire in your own domain and it reached your friend, eventually reached your friend's domain, causing damage. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev atomun be'esh. Rabbi Yehuda holds you responsible even for things that are hidden in your friend's property. Rabbonon savi lo mechayev, and the Rabbonon say that you're not obligated. You have the exemption of tomun. Upligi nami b'madlik b'soch b'madlik b'shel chavero. They argue also when you lit the fire initially in your friend's property. Rabbi Yehuda savar mishalim kol ma shebesocho v'afilu arniki. Rabbi Yehuda says you'll be chayav to pay for everything or anything that was hidden away, even a wallet hidden in a pile of grain. That's unusual. You don't expect a wallet to be in a pile of grain, but you lit the fire in your friend's domain. So, Reb Yehuda is lishitaso. You have to pay for all tomon. Rabbonon savri. The Rabbonon disagree. In this case, however, the Rabbonon do concede that sometimes tomon will be obligated to compensate. Kalim shedarkan lahatmin begodish, vessels that you would expect to be hidden in a pile of grain, kagon morigin uklei bokor hu demeshalim. Morigin are threshing boards, klei bokor different vessels that are attached to animals when they're doing their agricultural work. Those are vessels that are normally kept in piles of grain. However, kalim shein dak lahatmin begodish lo mishalim, vessels that you do not ever expect to find in a pile of grain, even if you lit the fire initially in your friend's domain, you do not have to compensate for those. We take a look at Rashi toward the end. Betarti pligi, pligi b'madlik b'soch shelo v'chulei. Upatri Rabbonon, the Rabbonon will exempt afilu kalim shedarkon lahatmin begodish. If you started the fire in your own domain and it spread to your friend's domain, the Rabbanan will exempt for the destruction of vessels that are normal to be in a Gadish. It's a scriptural ruling that things hidden are not to be compensated in the case of fire destruction. Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev Atomun Ubekelim Lo Shna Oison She'en Darkin Lahatmin Velo Shna Oison She'en Darkin Lahatmin. Regardless of whether it's normal for them to be there or not. That's Rabbi Yehuda's stringent opinion regarding fire damage and Tomun. Tonu Rabbonon, Hamadlik es Hagodish, Vahoyu bo Kalim Vidalku. One lit a pile of grain, set it afire, and there were vessels in it, and they were consumed by the fire. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishalem Kol Ma Shohoya Besocho. Rabbi Yehuda says you have to compensate for whatever was in that pile of grain. Vahomamor Me'eno Mishalem Elo Godish Shel Chitim Oy Godish Shel Seurim. All you have to pay for is the value of a pile of wheat or a pile of barley. The Royin Mokim Kalim, and you look at the space that was occupied by the vessels, Keilu Hu Mole Tvua, as if that amount of space was filled not by a vessel, but by grain. We continue at the top of Daf Samach Beis. When is this the case? B'madlik b'soich sheloi v'holcha v'dolka b'soich shel chavero. That's where the fire was initiated in your own domain, and it went and consumed and damaged in your friend's domain. Avol madlik b'soich shel chavero. If you initiated the fire in your friend's domain, the next two words that you see in parentheses are the subject of quite a discussion. We're not going to read them right now and simply continue with the text without those words. If you lit the fire initially in your friend's domain, Meshalem Kol Ma Shohoya Besocho, you will then pay for everything that was in there. Rashi at the top, he has the gears of Divrei HaKol, Meshalei Masha Besocho. The Tosfos suggests alternative readings like we did. However, the Rashi nevertheless explains, Rava Metaritz Lo L'Tamei, Rava will explain that this section where it says you, if you initiated the fire in your friend's domain, bekelim shadarkin lahatmin begodesh. According to the Rabbonon, you would have to compensate for tamun if that which was consumed was expected to be found in the pile of grain. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even if that which was in the pile of grain was not expected, you will have to compensate. So that this the point in this source of Avol Madlik Besosha Chavero, then you have to pay for everything that was there, that would be explained each one, Rabbi Yehuda according to his approach, and the Chachomim according to their approach. Umoide Rabbi Yehuda l'Chachomim. Rabbi Yehuda will concede to the Chachomim. Rabbi Yehuda will concede exemption. B'mashil mokum l'chavero l'hagdish gadish, where a person enabled, he gave permission to his friend to pile up grains in his domain. So you invited someone to pile grains in your domain. Vehigdish, and he did so. However, vehitmin, and he hid things in the pile. And you lit a fire in your own domain, and it consumed the visitor's pile of grain, and that which was hidden in the pile. Rabbi Yehuda will concede here, she'ein meshalem el demei godish bilvad, that the fellow in this case that lit the fire in his own domain pays only for the pile of grain. That's what he had invited the person to store in his domain. He didn't accept upon himself guarding or watching over anything beyond a pile of grain. We continue. You invited someone la hagdish chitin ve higdish sorim. You invited someone to pile some wheat in your domain, and he piled up barley. Barley is cheaper, is less expensive than wheat. Or sorim ve higdish chitin, or you invited him to pile up barley, and he piled up upon your invitation to pile up, but he did other than that which you expected. He piled up wheat. Or chitin v'chipon besorim, or he brought a pile of wheat in and covered it over with a layer of barley. Rashi points out here that even though you gave him permission for chitin, when it comes to compensation, you'll see in a moment, all you pay for is the barley, which is the lower rate, because the one who lit the fire will say, well, all I saw was sorim, therefore I didn't, and I know sorim isn't that expensive, and if any damage happens, I can easily compensate for it, and therefore I wasn't so careful. So if you had given permission for chitim, but he covered it with a layer of sorim, or you gave permission for sorim, the chipon b'chitim. In all of these cases, she'eno mishalim el demei sorin bilvad, that all you pay for is the lower rate, the barley rate. It appears from this source that in all of these cases where the damage took place in the domain of the one who lit the fire, damage happened to the grains that you invited to be brought into your own domain. So you have the benefit of all the leniencies. Either you can base yourself as on the invitation that you extended. I invited you only for barley. What were you bringing in wheat for? Or even in the event that you invited him to bring in wheat, but all you saw was barley. So either way, the owner in this case enjoys the exemption. And once again, the reason for that is that the fire was lit in your own domain, and the victim was someone you had invited to come into your domain. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.